Or the Community Radio 90.1 KZFR Chico.
I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, son, you look older than me, and I'm 71. You're falling apart, you're not living right. I went to the doctor, and the doctor said loud, you got to stop hanging out with that old in crowd. Living's a battle, and you're losing the fight. I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, boy, your body is a temple. It's not a toy. Fill up this here paper cup and give it to the nurse. Don't spill it now. I went to the doctor. Doctor said, friend, this should be the middle, but it could be the end. You better get better, else you're gonna get worse. Oh, I went to the doctor. Oh, I went to the doctor. I went to the doctor.
Alrighty, it's time for the spring pledge drive edition of the Doctor's Inn. We are having our membership drives. Please show your support for informational radio produced right here in Chico, live and local, serving Northern California. Give us a call at 895-0131. Thank you for everybody for calling in on the Funky Bus. Man, it's popping in here. Let's keep the vibes going. 895-0131. And here's Dr. Logan.
Hello. This is Dr. Ken Logan, family practice doctor here in Chico, and we're heading into the Doctor's Inn. And remember, this is Pledge Drive, phone number 895-0131. Please call in and pledge. Let's keep this radio station vigorous. Let me just say, why do I have this show, The Doctor's Inn? Well, family practice here in Chico, what I want to do is have a show once a month here to bring in guests and discuss health and medical-related issues that I think are important to all of us. And I'd be interested in hearing your desires for subject matter, if you like. And you could email me at klogan.md@yahoo.com. klogan.md@yahoo.com. By the way, the opinions voiced on this show do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers. Speaking of underwriters, the Doctor's Inn is made possible by you, the generous contributors, the listeners, and the phone number 895-0131. And also brought to you by Friends of the Arts, a state local partner to the California Arts Council. Since 2001, Friends of the Arts has been creating economic opportunity through arts and culture by producing community festival events, including Artoberfest, Chico Paleo, the True North Tour, the Silent Film Festival, the NorCal Jazz Festival, the Salmon Festival, and more. To learn about Friends of the Arts, visit friendsoftheartsupstate.org. And also, underwritten by Mountain Sports, providing outdoor clothing and equipment for hiking, cross-country skiing, camping, and just enjoying the great outdoors. Mountain Sports is located in downtown Chico at 176 East 3rd Street, and the telephone number there is 345-5011. Thank you, underwriters, and thank you, generous listeners, contributors to this station. Remember, Pledge Drive is on 895-0131. Please call in. I'd love the telephone to be ringing during the Doctor's Inn. Please don't let me down. Thank you. Today's show is who I have with us today, fortunately, is Dr. Mark Lundberg, MD. He's the health officer for Butte County Public Health Department. He's taken time from his busy day to be with you, the listeners, today, and to share information for all of us about our health and issues relating to our health here in Butte County. Dr. Lundberg, thank you for being here.
Dr. Logan, thank you so much for having me. I tell you, this is an honor to be here, and what a exciting time it is outside of the studio. I mean, besides the fundraising going on here, that farmer's market, what almost exciting it is out there. Looks very healthy to me.
Yeah, great community event.
It is.
Ongoing here.
You know,
Chico.
You know, when you think about health in a Broadway, a farmer's market, besides good food you can buy, it's just good for the folks to be out seeing each other, isn't it?
It is. It is. And walking is good.
Walking is good, yeah.
Here my brain goes into that, you know, out and walking amongst each other. And like you said, the fresh fruits and vegetables, that's, of course, what I'm going to talk about. Well, I'm going to mention or say.
I was just wondering how your garden's coming along there.
It's coming along.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, putting things in every day.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Every day, something new.
Well, trying to.
You're impressive.
Waiting for some things to pop up.
You're impressive. You know, I was looking for that secret ingredient that would make my garden just wonderful.
I've been
told about this secret ingredient, so I went to one of those big box stores and I said, I'm looking for the secret ingredient which I've been told is called a green thumb. Can you help me? They didn't get the joke, but anyway.
They didn't have that for sale.
They didn't have that for sale either, but a green thumb, that's pretty critical, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, so.
Mine hasn't quite got there yet.
Yeah, but that's... Anyway, it's really nice nice to see everyone out, and I guess the weather's going to be changing here, but it's still pretty nice gardening weather.
Right on.
Hey, I noticed that there's some health issues in the news these days. I guess we had a death in our country that maybe was even related to the influenza. I don't know. With Prince, the great musician, I saw that was big in the news today.
Yeah, we just heard about that last hour a bit. Yeah, and the question of was influenza involved in his death?
Yeah, I don't know how that might be, but apparently there was some association there.
Wow, unfortunate.
Influenza is a killer, and every year, fortunately this year for most of the country, wasn't that bad.
But good. That's
good news. You know, the other thing that's been in the news that I've been following a little bit is down in Sacramento County, in Sacramento, they've been having some opiate deaths that are really outside of the ordinary. They've been having street drugs that look like Norco, but they are actually, the Norco is a milder opiate, a common opiate, and it's been, had another opiate added to it called fentanyl, which is a really strong opiate, and that's led to many overdoses and a number of deaths, and we haven't seen what we think is a opioid death related in Butte County, but we're watching for that.
Mm-hmm. I've heard of that too in the news, fentanyl being added to the Norco, and Norco being hydrocodone, an opiate, like you said. Yep.
So
beware.
I think down in the farmer's market, there are some folks that are health related, at least there's a lot of health related folks, but I believe there's a initiative drive or a signature drive down there to put an initiative on the our election coming up. It's the Tobacco Tax Act of 2016. If your listeners are so inclined, I'm really backing that up. I really want that to go through, but we have to get it to the initiative process. Right now is what they're collecting signatures. So I believe there are folks even now down in the farmers market collecting signatures. If you're so inclined, that'd be great.
Are you aware of what the money would be intended for?
Well, there are. I think a lot of it's intended to try to make Medi-Cal rates better, because Medi-Cal rates are so poor for both dental and medical. I think that's one of the big parts of it.
Hmm.
Do you know anything else?
I don't
right off the top of my head. I don't know. But $2 would probably put us in the middle of the pack, and as far as a taxation in this country, we're really on the low side right now
for tobacco taxation compared to other states.
I believe right now about 87 cents a pack, and $2 could be added to that. So, you know, I wanted to put it to good use, but the thing about tobacco taxes that we found is for every 10% increase in the cost of a pack of cigarettes, for example, teen smoking drops by 6%. So just the increased cost will increase to lead to less utilization. So
that's a second good point.
It's pretty good.
Yes. Potential tax. Yes.
Anyway, that's down there, and that might be something interesting.
Signatures needed.
You know, we have in the health department. It's okay if I just throw out a thing to you, just to talk about some things going on at the health department. We've been looking at access to care. I wonder if your listeners, every one of you who is listening, you have to access care, and what your family strategy is. Do you have a primary care doctor? Do you, when you get ill, or do you use an urgent care, a prompt care, immediate care? Do you go to ERs? But getting access to care is important. In Butte County, we have some poor health indicators. Our death rates are higher than usual, and I believe, some of that, if you don't have access to care, you're not getting primary care, you're not getting preventive care, you're not getting maintenance of your and management of your chronic diseases, you're going to be more at risk for complications. So access to care is part of that, getting an improvement in our health.
Always important, of course.
You know, in some just some basic numbers, there is a health survey that was done in California, and in 2013, it was only 5% of Butte County citizens in that survey that was done were having difficulty accessing a primary care physician. And then, right at the end of 2013 and into 2014 is when most of the Affordable Care Act requirements went into place. So there got to be a lot of more people that were getting onto health care. Could we absorb those patients was one of the questions that was growing on all across the state is, can we handle that many new patients? Can we find a doctor? In 1 year, the population of Butte County went from having 5% difficulty accessing primary care to 2014, the same survey was done, and 20% said they had difficulty accessing primary care. 20% having difficulty. So, it was a good thing, in my opinion, that more people had health insurance. But if you can't see a doctor, that health insurance is not going to do you much good.
Mm-hmm.
So I think as a community, I think we do need to consider how are we going to solve that problem of access to care. There's a lot of ways to do that, but you work in a place that provides an important safety net, access to care. How's access to care there? Do you have enough doctors in your center?
That's a very good question, and that center, Chico Family Health, is where I work 2 days a week, now called Ampla Care Chico. It's part of a clinic system here in Northern California, I think around 12 clinics in surrounding, in various small towns in this Northern California area, Ampla Care or Chico Family Health in Chico. Yes, there are adequate numbers of healthcare providers, both nurse practitioners, physician assistants, and physicians to take on new patients always. So Chico Family Health, the door is open. And I'll give the phone number in a minute. I will tell you that we did have a drop in provider numbers, but we got another rise here this month. So both doctors and mid-level nurse practitioners are greater numbers here now at Chico Family Health, Ampla Chico. So, yes, it's a place for health care. The door is always open. And fortunately, we have that community health clinic in Chico. The phone, while we're on that subject, if you are without a primary care provider, Chico Family Health or Ampla Health Chico, the phone number is 342-4395. That's 342-4395. There is one in Oroville. There's an Ampla Care in Oroville. There's one in Gridley, Orland, Hamilton City, Yuba City, always taking new patients. Northern Valley Indian Health in Chico also takes new patients, including patients, both of those clinics, Ampla Health Chico and Northern Valley Indian Health, take patients who have private health insurance, who have no insurance, cash only, or who have Medi-Cal, such as the Managed Care Medi-Cal with Anthem Blue Cross or California Health and Wellness. Both Northern Valley Indian Health and Ampla Health Chico take those patients. And Northern Valley Indian Health is soon to move into a new, bigger facility on Cohasset Road, I'm noticing.
You know, they broke out some of the challenges based on insuring. If they ask a question of Medicare, those have Medicare, it's interesting that 80% of those they spoke to that have Medicare did have a primary care provider. That's pretty good, 80%. Mm. That's up there. Those that have Medi-Cal, only 57% had a primary care provider. And if you had private insurance in this particular survey, 55% had a primary care provider.
Which is lower than I would have hoped to hear you say.
And then the question was asked, have you had difficulty getting medical treatment? Those with Medicare are elderly mainly. About a third had trouble getting medical treatment. Medi-Cal providers, about 40%, and about a fourth had difficulty with private insurance. So, you know, they all have some challenges.
Yeah. You know, I hear you talk about the challenges of the healthcare system, you know, obtaining care, and who you're going to be able to see, when you're going to be able to access to that care, and the insurance snafus that go along with that. And I'm telling you, I will say it before. I'll say it again and again and again and again and again. We need to stop this hideousness of health insurance fiascos that lead to these numbers, partially lead to these numbers of decreased access and the hassles of access because of our healthcare system and the insurance companies relative to that. Single payer healthcare, doing away with the various scattered numbers of various types of insurance, health insurance, and make us all have the same government-supervised or managed, government-managed healthcare funding called single-payer healthcare. Still all of us in private practice that want to be in private practice, et cetera, all still occur. However, the funding being stabilized, all of us on the same playing field, single-payer health care.
You know, the great thing about being around you, Dr. Logan, is every time I'm with you, I'm newly inspired by that solution.
Yeah. The problems are not – the problems with our healthcare system relative to health insurance just get worse and worse and worse as time goes on.
You know, I've noticed over the years, and I wonder if you comment on this, that – it appears that someone is making a decision somewhere in a policy, somewhere they create policy, that they do not want private practice any longer. It really is hard on solo practitioners to survive right now, looks to me like. When I hear them talk about the challenges of setting up electronic health record, the challenges of being insured, the challenges of dealing with the insurance companies, the challenges of recruiting, almost the impossibility of recruiting a partner. Boy, and then I see a lot of doctors. It appears that there are much better options, and if they close their
right.
their office, there are much better options for them that aren't solo practice. And so it looks to me like that is going to be heading towards extinction here.
Yes, it is heading. It's been heading towards extinction, and it's going to continue at the same if the same system continues.
Yeah.
I'll tell you again. That was the demise of my solo private practice about 7 years ago. I could not survive monetarily with the system because of what the health insurance companies, private health insurance companies, were paying a solo practitioner. No bargaining power with a solo practitioner. You get what you get, and the hassles that go along with that to get them to pay. And then Medi-Cal, again, still is a problem and does not pay adequately generally for primary care. Medicare was fine. Medicare paid fine. If all my patients had Medicare, I would still be in private practice. So single payer system where we stabilized the payment structure of our healthcare system in the country, like every other industrialized country in this world, then we would improve this availability issue, improve primary care availability. I suspect our figures on death rate and disease issues such as cardiac disease and cerebral vascular disease, diabetes, are worse than some of the other many of the other industrialized countries that have some type of universal health care, and that speaks to the issue you spoke to in the beginning. Availability is poor when you don't when your insurance company because of insurance problems. By the way, you made the statement. I think it was 55% of the people in the last survey with private health insurance do not have a primary care provider. Let me tell you, that's part of the problem with the Affordable Care Act. As we know, the insurances that you get with the on the relative to the Affordable Care Act have high deductibles, high co-pays. And I'm telling you, as a doctor who works at the Shalom Free Clinic, I'm telling you, a fair percentage of the people we see there who I see because they cannot afford to use their quote-unquote health insurance. Single-payer health care. We need single-payer health care.
You make a great spokesman for single-payer there, Dr. Logan.
Hey, let me throw out one thing real quick. This is Pledge Drive. We're in the Pledge Drive for this community radio station. To help us stay on the air, you too, a listener, could pledge. Please pledge some support, any amount you feel you would be able to afford. The phone number to call in a pledge, 895-0131. That's 895-0131. There's people waiting for your call. Please pledge. Okay.
You know, I was with a group of doctors from the Butte Glen Medical Society recently, and I was reminded talking with them that we need local solutions to recruitment. And mm-hmm. You know, you have places which have these large group like Kaiser or Sutter and they have a whole recruitment group, and they just are trying to find new doctors and recruit new doctors
vigorously.
Mm-hmm. I'm really glad you belong to an organization right now that sounds like they've been successful in recruiting. But our whole community needs to get involved. Mm-hmm. And I know that NLO does a lot of work with recruiting and tries to help. But we are in a way a competition for these medical providers, and we want to get them to Butte County. We want to get them to Chico, and we need them.
It is competition, too. That's a perfect word, competition with these larger organizations such as Sutter and Kaiser in the bigger cities. That describes the problem with primary care availability and other doctor availability throughout the state, throughout the country, I think. The availability of a physician, including primary care, in the larger cities, where there are things like Kaiser and Sutter, by the way, is much easier. They don't have the problems that we have in rural and semi-rural, like Chico. So I like your point that how can we, in Chico, for instance, entice physicians and mid-level practitioners to come here to practice?
One of the doctors at the meeting was an OB doctor, obstetrical doctor, and he went back to his old residency to try to do some recruiting. Hmm. And he found that every new graduate or one that was preparing to graduate, not a single one wanted to go into private practice. They wanted to go into a center that they could, you might call it shift work or work where they were part of a larger group. Mm-hmm. I believe that that even right now, NLO is trying to help solve that by putting together groups to help provide opportunities for doctors who are looking for certain opportunities.
And I think that's a good thing. I think they're even talking about a primary care group in a new facility they may be building on East Avenue. I've heard that rumor. I think that's a good idea. Let me, I, I don't want to beat a dead horse. It's not a dead horse. I don't want to beat this issue up too much, but I want to say, and I want the listeners to understand the part of the reason that health insurance is including the Medicare managed care plans such as Anthem Blue Cross and California Health and Wellness and all of the primary or private health insurances. Part of the problem we physicians have with those companies not only is what we get paid, but the hassles daily in obtaining the care with respect to the medications we want our patients to have, with respect to the treatments such as physical therapy, et cetera, that we want our patients to have, relative to testing that we feel is important for our patients, the paperwork and authorizations over and over again that we have to submit every day. I have a two-inch stack of papers on my desk right now to go through. When do I have time to do it? B, it's a hassle. And if you're thinking of encouraging doctors into the field of medicine, I'm telling you, one of the problems is the hassles that it's of dealing with the private health insurance companies. And included in that is this managed care stuff that has been taken over our Medi-Cal contracts in the state of California. It's a hassle to get the care you want. Spend a lot of time not seeing patients, but dealing with the hassles of authorization of care. Thank you for listening.
I wonder,
listeners out there, thank you for listening. You've been my therapist.
I wonder, Dr. Logan, if another thing your listeners have noticed changed about healthcare is, if you notice your doctor working over the top of a computer in the exam rooms.
Yes.
Boy, there's a big change, and I don't know very many doctors that are very happy about that.
No.
The computer and the electronic health record has really become a huge burden.
Yes, it's increased the workload. You'd think, and computers would speed your workup and make it more efficient. Not true. I will, from my standpoint and those I see around me, not true.
Yeah, I don't know if it's got in between. As any of your listeners, maybe they've seen that computer get a little bit in between that relationship with their doctor, and that's unfortunate also.
Very unfortunate. Yeah. Also unfortunate, I do not hear the telephone ringing for pledges. I think the listeners should know a telephone number. Please take note of this telephone number, 895-0131. You too can pledge your support for KZFR Radio, our community radio station.
We did have a caller early on. We want to thank Dan for coming on board.
Excellent.
And we'd love to get four more calls. We'd like to make $250 this hour. And please help us obtain that here on some... this is our informational block of programming during the day. We just had a nice run with the Funky Bus, 3 hours of Prince. You know, we had Random Pick. It's been a great day of music. And it's time to expand the cranium a little bit, relax the feet. And as you're preparing your evening meal, or maybe you're exercising or walking or something, or driving home. Anyway, give us a call. Show some support for the Doctors Inn. I know people love it. We get a lot of calls throughout the show and throughout the day. 895-0131. Should we take a little music break? Let people stroll to the phone?
Sounds good. 895-0131.
So you had 3 hours of Prince this afternoon? That'd be good.
Somebody call for a doctor. I think I'm sick. Ain't had my medicine in over a week. My mind's fine, but my body feels weak. Call a doctor. I think I'm sick. Thank you.
scratch my body long, I mess with my head. I don't know, but I've had my fill. Call a doctor and tell him I'm ill.
Alrighty, looks like we had a phone call. Very nice. Thank you, and thank you, Sally. Thank you, Sally, for calling in. And let's keep it rolling, 895-0131, and show some support for our informational programming. And we have both Dr. Lundberg and Dr. Logan in the house. It's always great to have Dr. Lundberg come in because, man, I can listen to you guys talk all day.
Can I say something?
Sure.
Sally wanted me to make the comment that the doctor's inn needs to get home on time for dinner.
That's funny. I know somebody named Sally
there
Logan.
Go.
Very good. Thanks for that tip, that advice. So this is the doctor's inn, and we're sitting here today, thank goodness, with Dr. Mark Lundberg, MD, health officer for Butte County Public Health Department. And one thing that our public health officer has is information. You know, the public health department and state health department accumulate information about how various medical conditions and our health in general is doing, not only in the county, but across the state and comparison across the country. So information, very useful information that Dr. Lundberg has at his disposal.
Well, thank you, Dr. Logan. And again, it's great to be with you. You know, one of the exciting parts of the department for me is the communicable disease control part of it. There's a number of conditions that we receive reports on, both from the labs and from doctors, from the hospitals. And we try to look at those reports and try to decide if we can help notify the community or make an intervention in the community. One of those that I was talking today about, and that is hepatitis C. You deal with
hepatitis
C a lot. Yeah, you deal with that a lot. You know, we recently submitted a grant application, and we got a grant to try to link people that have hepatitis C to care and also help patients get a full evaluation. What we're finding is that there's a lot of hepatitis C. I just can't get over how many people in Butte County get diagnosed with hepatitis C every year. I was, our current data, looking at, we average about 400 cases of hepatitis C a year. I just, where are those cases? Sometimes I just scratch my head. Where are those cases coming from? And, most of these people don't know they have hepatitis C because hepatitis C very infrequently produces an acute illness or one at least that's identified as being hepatitis C. They probably have some mild illness, don't get identified, but then later I get a test done, they get diagnosed with chronic hepatitis C. Most of hepatitis C that gets identified in Butte County is chronic, very little acute hepatitis C. And these folks, they get diagnosed maybe in the emergency room or maybe in an immediate care. They're not getting the follow-up that they should. There's some great treatments. There's ways to try to prevent the disease from progressing, making sure prevent hepatitis A and hepatitis B, helping advise them about their use of alcohol. There's just a lot that can be done. And when they get lost, they really don't get plugged in, and there's so much great, there's really some outstanding treatments. I don't know the treatments very well, but you can fill in the gap there. It's some really, some exciting treatments, I believe, with low side effects, but great success out there right now.
Yes, and that's a new thing over the last year or so. And let me back up just a little bit and remind the listeners that hepatitis C, remember, when we doctors talk about hepatitis, there's three viruses that we usually think about. Hepatitis A is infectious hepatitis, where people get that from, I don't know, eating food that was contaminated or traveling to a third world country and get ill. And then that particular hepatitis A virus or infectious hepatitis, you get ill and then it goes away and you're immune for the rest of your life. So hepatitis A doesn't hang with us generally. Hepatitis B is another one that one of the other viruses that can hang with people and give a chronic hepatitis or chronic disease and later on in the life cause problems. Hepatitis C is the third one we look at. And hepatitis C, again, is a virus. It is obtained by the human from a needle in their past, either many years ago, maybe if you had a blood transfusion many years ago, I don't know how many, let's say 20 or 30 years ago, when screening was not adequate, you could have obtained it through a blood transfusion even back then.
Yep.
Then
yep.
In more recent years, IV drug use, either way back in distant history of you or more recent, so IV drugs, shared needle with somebody else, or a needle stick, some kind of puncture from something that's punctured someone with hepatitis C. So mainly it's IV drug use or illicit drug use is one method.
So one of the numbers they use, Dr. Logan, when they talk about who should be tested, they talk about if you received a clotting factor made before 1987 or if you received a blood transfusion or a transplant before 1992 is some of those cutoff numbers when they before they could really did they before they could do well at screen the blood.
Gotcha. I think that, you know, with just to let the listeners know, hepatitis B is also passed by those same ways, that is a needle stick or IV drug use in your past, or those issues of blood transfusion or blood products, as Dr. Lundberg just said. But it's all hepatitis B is also a sexually transmitted disease. It is passed sexually as well, so that's problematic. There is a vaccination for hepatitis B. Children, generally speaking, in the United States are getting that vaccination now in their youth. So that's a good thing to try to be have our children immune to hepatitis B, so they will not be a sexually transmitted disease for them in the future.
You know, of the there's a lot of standard routine tests that are done when you're pregnant. There are two, I believe, that are required by law. One of those required by law is a hepatitis B surface antigen, because if we can identify a woman as having been an unknown chronic carrier of hepatitis B, we can prevent that child from becoming infected at the time of birth.
Perfect.
So that's the other important transmission time of B is at time of birth.
Then back to hepatitis C. Unfortunately, we do not have a vaccination, at least yet, for hepatitis C, so that's unfortunate. Hepatitis C does not generally pass sexually, although there may be some a smattering of cases that's possible on, but it generally is not a sexually transmitted disease. Again, I think we still need to know a little bit more about that research, but it's mainly a finger stick mainly an IV drug use past virus. The important thing about hepatitis C and even hepatitis B carriers are they do not necessarily and probably don't have any symptoms. Dr. Lundberg said that at the very beginning when you get exposure to hepatitis C, You may have a mild illness that you thought was a stomach flu. Then it goes away. And then the virus can stay in your body and in your liver for the rest of your life and you not know it, unfortunately. Then I don't know the percentage, but percentage of patients then, as their life goes on, obtain hepatitis B destruction. I'm sorry, hepatitis C destruction of their liver, cirrhosis, and then potentially death. The second, and then the liver cancer is increased in incidence, or liver cancer itself is not real common unless it's a metastasis or spread from a other cancer of the body. But liver cancer on its own as a primary cancer is not real common, but it is increased in likelihood for liver cancer if you have chronic hepatitis B or chronic hepatitis C. So liver failure as time goes on in your life, or liver cancer as time goes on in your life, are the problems that can come up with hepatitis C. And again, the vast majority of people who carry hepatitis C do not know that. They don't have the symptoms. So being tested is important, as Dr. Lundberg said. There's a simple blood test. It's not a difficult blood test. We generally screen by looking for the antibody for hepatitis C. Your primary care doctor or other doctor can test that readily.
And then the part that needs to be, we want to see a confirmation done that whether or not they have active disease, whether they have the virus or not.
Correct.
Take it to the next stage where there's a viral load there. Because, you know, about, 15-20% of people clear it and actually have evidence of a past infection, but no longer have any ongoing infection or ongoing injury going on. And so we really want to try to distinguish the people who have that ongoing virus replicating there and those that have cleared the infection.
Exactly. So we start with that hepatitis C antibody test. If it's positive, the next step is another blood test to actually look for the virus itself and measure the numbers in the bloodstream or viral load, like Dr. Lundberg said.
So that's what we found that, you know, can you imagine half the people that had an antibody done have not taken that next stage, some survey
next
we
test.
Did locally, and we think, wow, that's just a really incomplete evaluation, really incomplete.
Yeah, and part of the problem with treatment for hepatitis C over the years, so let me start with this point. Viruses, treating viruses in the human body, we don't have antibiotics like we do for bacteria infection. Virus infections in the body across the board are difficult to treat. We don't have great ways to get rid of them medicinally. You hope your body immune system fights it off. Many it doesn't with something like hepatitis C. So fortunately, with hepatitis C, there is now a medication that with the common hepatitis C virus. There are more than one type of hepatitis C virus. There is one type of hepatitis C virus that responds, fortunately, to this new medicine Dr. Lundberg was talking about or mentioning. That medicine is only out here over the last year or so. It's almost unbelievable, but the idea is that you can be cured. In other words, get rid of the hepatitis C virus by this kind of medication. It's a very expensive medication, but nonetheless, that really shouldn't get in your way. You should, you would like your doctor to evaluate you for the potential for treatment with that. With respect to the past, recent past, the prior treatments for hepatitis C were not pretty. There was a pill called ribavirin and the injection of
interferon.
And interferon and ribavirin mixed had their side effects, and it was a long treatment. And it was not 100%. It didn't have the most stellar record of cure like this new medication does. So a lot of people might have in their mind, oh, no, I don't want the hepatitis C treatment because it's kind of difficult on the body, and things are different now with this new medication. So I would encourage,
it actually is a good thing, this new medication. The bad thing about the medication is the cost. And there we go again. There you go again, Dr. Logan, blaming the pharmaceutical companies for ripping off the humans of this country, holding us in kind of a blackmail situation. You got a medicine now that can cure my hepatitis C. And guess what? Multiple thousands of dollars to treat me. Thank you, pharmaceutical company. I hope your profits are skyrocketing, as we know they are. Nonetheless, that's the way it is right now, because we don't have single-payer health care where we have collective bargaining from the pharmaceutical companies like other industrialized companies, countries do. But nonetheless, I digress. Sorry.
So, Dr. Logan, do you think that if we were to, one of our goals of this grant is to link people with care, one question we don't have the answer for, we are going to be trying to explore that, is if we can link these people, if they're interested in treatment, if they're ready to be evaluated, are there enough doctors that are willing or could or know how to treat hepatitis C to handle this
influx.
Sort of influx?
Yeah, I hear you. And that's a very good question. I will tell you that I know of two doctors who would be able to in Chico, and that is there's an infectious disease doctor at Ampla Health Chico. Chico Family Health has an infectious disease doctor who treats hepatitis C, including with these newer agents, newer products. He also treats HIV and hepatitis B and various infectious diseases. So he is available at Ampla Health Chico. That's the first thing. Second thing is, I know we do have another infectious disease doctor in Chico, although I'm not sure, should I say his name over the air? Because I'm not sure how he works currently.
Probably not.
Okay. So, but I will tell you, I absolutely know that we have a doctor at Ampla Health Chico that treats hepatitis C.
Dr. Logan, if there were trainings that came into Butte County or into Chico, do you think that very many primary care doctors could gain a comfort level in treating hepatitis C?
If there was what? That
training, if we could.
Oh, training relative to treatment of hepatitis
yeah.
C? Probably. Yeah, I think that's a good point. To be honest with you, there's some... A bit of testing to decide the severity of your hepatitis C at that point in time to decide whether or not to begin this medication, this new medication for hepatitis C. So there is a bit of testing and evaluating of that to determine indeed if you would be a good candidate for this new product, and that does require some expertise. And so I think it would require that, what you just said, some training for that. And I think that's possible. Internal medicine doctors in Chico, I think this could be up their alley. And by the way, I don't know at this point in time whether there are internal medicine doctors other than the infectious disease specialists who do treat hepatitis C currently. I suspect there may be. I would begin by asking your primary care doctor, if you know you have hepatitis C, I would advise you speak with your primary care doctor. They may treat hepatitis C, or they can refer you elsewhere to treat it. And by the way, there are infectious disease doctors, of course, who can treat for hepatitis C or other infectious diseases that are not in Chico, such as a referral to an infectious disease doctor in Sacramento at Sutter or UC Davis or UC San Francisco or Stanford. These doctors exist out there as well, of course.
I think one thing you made a point of, Dr. Logan, is that I'm sure there are hundreds that have gotten a diagnosis sometime in their life of Hep C, feel fine, but have never followed up. I think there's a real encouragement to get in, get reevaluated. Where's your liver test? You know, what are the treatment options? Get an update on where you stand. You may feel great, just as you had said, you can feel great still, even though you're having virus replicated in your liver and maybe you're on a path to some liver damage. You can feel okay for a while. Get in there early and get this evaluated.
And I hate to, I don't know if, I will tell you that I will tell you that I've had at least two cases over the years of identifying hepatitis C in people who have not received blood transfusions and have not used IV drugs. So, I mean, those are the main ways to get them, but get that virus. But, you know.
So over the years, just to go along with that, over the years, there has been a change in the recommendation from our federal government on who should be tested. Used to be the people, the risk factors you already have named, mainly if you've ever received a blood product or have ever had a needle exposure. But the new recommendations captures me. And that is just anyone born between 1945 and 1965 is now on that list of who should be tested for hepatitis C.
Wow.
That didn't used to be there. But I see that now over. I see it now again when I was just looking at the literature today, and I've seen it in the past year, that those are also now included. If you're born between 1945 and 1965, they should be tested. I guess the idea there is maybe we don't always remember what we did in all those years, or maybe we don't remember what our exposures were. And if you lived in those areas, maybe you should just be screened for it.
Yeah. And let me just say one more thing, too, that made me think of it. Let's say you're a person with hepatitis C virus, no symptoms, and you're saying, no, I don't want to go through the treatment for whatever reason. But remember, like Dr. Lundberg alluded to or mentioned earlier, if we identify somebody who carries the virus of hepatitis C, we also, even if you're not going to treat the hepatitis C, you've chosen not to, you still want to protect your liver from other disease processes because you don't want to add other insults to your liver health. And so there are other things that can be done to help your liver beyond simply the treatment of the hepatitis C, such as vaccinating for hepatitis A, vaccinating for hepatitis B, and avoiding alcohol. Those are the three biggies. So there are other reasons to identify and other things to do to help your liver if you indeed were positive for hepatitis C.
So hepatitis C, you're going to see some work in our department, and I'm sure the public will probably do some news releases or make some outreach then.
Dr. Lundberg, it's been excellent having you aboard again. And as I've said to you before, please come back. Would you come back and talk to us more?
Well, this is great. Always good to talk with you.
We just did the tip of the iceberg on information we can glean from you, sir. Remember, this is a pledge drive for your community radio station. The number to pledge, 895-0131. That's 895-0131. Dr. Lundberg, thank you very much for being with us. Dr. Lundberg is the health officer for Butte County Public Health Department. It's been a pleasure to have you aboard again. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And thank you to Ray Lager, the engineer on this for this radio show. Thank you very much. And remember, The Doctor's Inn, the third Thursday of each month at from 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock in the evening. And thank you for listening. The Doctor's Inn is made possible by the generous contributions of you, the KZFR supporters, who can support by dialing 895-0131. And also by locally owned Mama Celeste Stone Baked Pizzeria, serving 30 signature thin crust Chicago-style stone baked pizzas, calzones, hand-tossed salads, homemade meatballs, wings, and including a vegan option. Mama Celeste's is located in the Safeway Plaza on Nord. Open every day at 4 p.m. and noon on Sundays. That's Mama Celeste's Stone Baked Pizzeria. Phone number 345-1510. And also by Oak Ridge Cabinets, Northern California's full-service manufacturer and of custom cabinets since 1981. Oak Ridge Cabinets offers cabinet design and manufacturing for your home or office, and they are located at 11128 Midway in Durham. For more information, you can call 893-8774 and on the internet at oakridgecabinets.com. The opinions voiced on this show do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers. Remember, this is Pledge Drive, 895-0131. Call in and pledge your support. Stay tuned for Beatle Nation.
I don't need no doctor, because I know what's ailing me. I don't need no doctor, because I know what's ailing me. I've been too long away from my baby. I'm coming down. Prescription to be filled.
I don't need no doctor. I don't need no doctor.
I don't need no doctor, Lord. Or prescription to be filled.
I don't need no doctor.
I don't
need no doctor.
All in my baby's arms. A good take away these chills. Oh, these chills. Come on.